for March. That's what the Lord told me. And then he said, he took me right to Moses, to the Red Sea. Because I remember my pastor years ago preaching and talking about, you know, he's in the Navy for
20 years,
Navy man. And he had marching orders. They had orders to go, whatever was handed down to them, they did it. No questions asked, right? They just did it because that's what they signed up for. They joined underneath the United States Navy, Army, Marines, whichever. Reed, he served too. Who served in here? We got more than one. Randy, Reed, Jim, Larry. Praise God. We thank you for your service. Thank God for watching over you and keeping you safe. Amen. So you could teach me something. I didn't serve the Army, but I'm serving in the Army. Amen. The Army of the Lord. We're all in the Army now. Whether you sign, when you came to Jesus, you signed up.
Amen.
But I tell you what, we got the best protected plan you could think of, health plan. It all starts with Jesus. And the marching orders for, I'm not sure how far I'll get today because I got a lot, but we're just going to go with what I got, what God's got for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day. I thank you, Lord, for this month that, Lord, you said we got some marching orders to teach on this month. But, Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who gives us revelation and shows us things to come, shows us what the enemy's up to so that we can avoid his devices, we can avoid his traps. And, Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for as I teach today, that anointing comes upon me to teach your word, to bring revelation, knowledge, and insight into the word of God so that we can be equipped leaving this place to go out here and defeat the devil in every area of our lives, spirit, soul, and body. And I believe that in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
So I believe you're going to get something today that's going to help you on life's highway.
Amen.
Another song we listened to on this morning, Rascal Flatts. I like that song too. Life is a highway.
Yes.
Amen. And I'll just be honest with you. See, I used to be on the highway to hell and used to sing those songs, AC/DC, before I knew Jesus. But I got on a different road now because I gave my life to Jesus and I'm on the highway to heaven. And there's a lot of friends that were on that same highway to hell with me that I got to keep teaching and preaching because I believe God's going to bring me across their path again one day to lead them to Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
So I thank God for his intervention. He was always chasing. He's always chasing us until we come to him. He never gives up on us. But the Lord wanted me to refresh us on the authority of the believer. Now, Brother Kenneth Hagin, if you knew him, he passed on, went on to be with heaven, I think, 2003, 2004. But the devil tried to take him out when he was a young boy, paralyzed, 15, 16 years old. He was a Baptist boy. He'll tell you that. If you listen to his teachings, he'll tell you what denominations. But I'm not looking at denominations anymore. I'm looking at the Word of God.
Yeah.
And but thank God for the Holy Ghost and faith. Say faith. Because, see, he had a blood disease, had a heart problems, and they gave him up to die, 16, 17 years old. He was paralyzed. Young boy. Just a little bit younger, a little bit older than Dallas, but Rowan back there. But he had religion. He had grandmas and mamas that come in there and they was telling about Jesus and had preachers come in there and tell him, you know, get things in order, Brother Hagin. It ain't going to be long now. Best we can do is just hang on until Jesus comes and gets you. That's all the faith he was getting. It's just hang on, brother. It won't be long now. All this suffering you're going through is going to pass and you're going to get out of here. But Brother Hagin heard something different. As he got in the Bible and was reading Mark 11, 23, and 24, the devil was telling him, see there, it's over, you know, you're defeated. Because all that healing and stuff, it passed away. That's what he had heard, that healing had passed away. That passed away in the early church when the apostles passed away. All those gifts that they were operating in, that passed away. But as he began reading, so that's what the devil was telling him. That's what the world was telling him. But then God spoke to him and said, well, read that one more again. Read it again. And when he read it, it said, talked about faith. And the Holy Ghost said, has faith passed away? And he said, no, it hadn't. Faith will never pass away. Because that's God's word. We get faith by the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And that changed his life. He put faith in the promises of God and took his old paralyzed legs and threw them off the bed. And see, that's what sometimes we do things different here. I had you come forward. Just getting up as an act of faith, coming to communion table, so you do something.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be served. We do things different ways, but you're still, by faith, you're receiving it.
Yeah.
But the Bible, every time Jesus asked somebody to do something, he said, now, what do you want? And he'd tell them to do this. Sometimes it's just their faith. A blind man asked him, Jesus said, what do you want? He said, Lord, that I might see. He said, receive your sight. So you don't have to work for it. You believe for it and receive it by faith. And Brother Hagin got a hold of that. And this book is by him. It's the Believer's Authority. And I found one of the old original versions when I was back in apartment maintenance. This is back, how many, 30 years ago? Ruthie's 20. So at least probably 30 years ago. We go in there, we clean out everything everybody leaves behind, repaint it, clean it. And I had a lot of little books, Bibles. One of them I had was the Believer's Authority, and it was a little old book, one of the little ones, the original ones. And I read it, and I kept it, and I actually gave it to somebody. I forget who I gave it to, but I told them I'd like to have that one back because it was personal to me. But that's okay. The Word never changes. I got the Word in my heart. But I read that book, never heard about the things that were written in that book. And to me, to one person, it was trash. To me, it was riches. The Word of God. It's more precious than gold and silver. But to some people, they just left it behind. Not me. I took it and I read it and I cherished it. And Brother Hagin did the same thing. He got a hold of the Word of God, what God said. And Brother Hagin wrote this book back in 1967. It says, during the years, the important Bible truths in its pages have transformed the lives of many people. I was born in 1966. I was just a little old boy, 1 year old, when this book was written. But see, the Word's always alive. It'll change you, no matter young or old. Doesn't matter. But one thing I wanted to read here, as Brother Hagin said, a couple paragraphs, he says, as a result of my studies, this is the foreword. You know, Paul told Timothy to study, not just come to church, study. And he said, as a result of my studies, I concluded that we as a church have authority on the earth that we've never yet realized. Authority that we're not using. A few of us have barely gotten to the edge of that authority. But before Jesus comes again, there's going to be a whole company of believers who will rise up with the authority that is theirs. I believe I'm talking to that company today. It's going to rise up, that we're going to rise up in authority that is ours. See, I even got the train backing me up. That's an agreement right there. They will know what is theirs. Jim, you might need to input what the Lord told you this year. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. They will know what is theirs, and they will do the work that God intended they should do. Have you got that in your spirit to share that? This is the little thing, little that God gave Jim this year. All right. I think it just needs to, there's people here that hadn't heard it, but then sometimes we hear it, we need to hear it again. He gave that to Jim, but Jim's giving it to others that'll receive it. Because see, when the Word of God gives somebody something, it's to benefit you, but it's also to benefit others. Amen? And me and Sherry, we can be witness to being underneath Pastor Jim Howard all those many years. God spoke to us, revealed things to us. We didn't have to go to his house and sit down and ask him or call him and ask him. We just went to where he was teaching, and God answered it right there through the teaching. Because see, if you're hungry and you go, you'll get fed. Amen? And that's what happened to us. And I'm a byproduct of the Word that was given to this man.
This is what the Lord gave me last year. In the year 2001-8, many were required to constantly pray and struggle and wait. Satan seemed to be always at the gate. Trouble seemed to be their fate. In 2001-9, everything can be fine. But it's not for those who slumber and recline. Rather, it's for those who dig in the Word like seeking nuggets in a mine.
Yes.
And when they discover God's promises divine, they will boldly declare in faith, these are mine, these are mine, these are mine.
Amen, amen. There you go. There's a scripture that goes right along with that. It says, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent have to take it by force. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. But the devil don't want you to know the authority that God gave you is yours. Right? He don't want you to know that. He wants you to be blind. Remember one thing he spoke to me? He said, religion will make you blind to the truth, but a relationship with Jesus will bind you to the truth, to the Word of God. Jesus said, nobody can take you out of my hand. Nobody can take you out of my hand. Amen? Nobody. And can't nobody do me like Jesus. Exodus. We're going to do some reading, but this was when the Lord gave me these marching orders. He took me to Exodus. Daniel, if he was here, would say, exit. Get out of there. That's what Exodus means. It's time to leave. It's time to exit bondage. It's time to exit high blood pressure. It's time to exit diabetes. Amen? Plug this in where you need to hear it. Anything. Exodus 4, 1 through 4. Moses answered and said, God speaking to him, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. And one other thing God spoke to us this year is to we're going to be a voice that makes a choice to rejoice in the Lord. Amen? That's where your strength is. Rejoicing in the Lord always. Be that voice. Well, Moses says, Lord, they're not going to hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord, he hadn't appeared to me. I'm going to try not to preach every verse. if I need to, let me preach it. I don't care what people tell you. If God's told you something, you go for it. Yeah. Amen? Because God's speaking to you. He didn't speak to them.
Right.
He spoke to you. And what God's called you to do, he'll give you the anointing to do it.
Amen.
I'm a byproduct of that too. I didn't stand up and give essays when I was in high school. I probably laid out saying I was sick and wasn't because I didn't like to speak in front of the teacher. Just around my friends. Amen. Didn't do a whole lot of that. But the Lord will change. And I like what John Osteen said. You got to have your want to right. Amen. If you got a want to, God will give you the unction to do it. He'll give you the anointing to do it. Amen. And it won't be your ability. It'll be his ability in you.
Amen.
That's what the anointing's for. And the Lord said to him, Moses, what's that in your hand? Remember, he was a shepherd for 40 years now. He's been in a shepherd in the backside of the desert. If you had front side, back side, I'd rather be in the front side. Just a little humor there. I don't know if that means anything or not. Anyway, but God met him on the backside, so that's good too. Amen. God will meet you where you are. I also learned that faith begins where the will of God is known. We're talking about your authority. You got to know God wants you blessed and prosperous. Amen. The Lord said, what's that in your hand, Moses? And Moses said, it's a rod. You think God knew it was a rod? Yeah, he did, but he wanted Moses to say, what is it? It's a rod. And he said, God said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a snake, a serpent. What would you do? Don't look at Moses and say, well, he fled. What would you do? I never liked snakes or spiders. I'd step back pretty too, because it was a pretty big rod. That means it's a pretty big snake. It wasn't no gardener snake. And he fled. Smart man, Moses. But then Jehovah, God, said to Moses, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. By the tail, Lord. You know when you take snakes, you grab them by the head. By the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now just ponder on that, and we're gonna go to Exodus chapter 3. If you got your Bible, you might want to turn there, because we're going to read the whole chapter, and it's not that long. But I've always been taught when you're reading something, you need to read a chapter behind and a chapter forward to really get the good gist of it. So chapter 3, Exodus, verse 1. Oh, wait a minute. Well, we need to read that too, Lord. I went to Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle. Amen. Hey, we're going to go ahead and read that. More subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, hath God said. See, God's asking somebody. Somebody's asking something. What'd God say? That's a good place to learn about your authority too. But we're going to get back on to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. Moses kept the flock of Jethro. This ain't Jethro Bodine on the hillbillies. This is Jethro, the priest of Midian. I like the hillbillies too. Beverly Hillbillies. This ain't Jethro. And he was a priest. And Moses kept his flock. This is his father-in-law. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert one day and came to the mountain of God. See, Jethro was teaching him about God out here. Pharaoh was teaching about his gods while he was in Egypt. But that wasn't his destiny. See, on the inside, Moses was called by the God, Jehovah, one God, the true God. And the angel of the Lord, if you look this up, this is Jesus manifesting in this fire. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame out of the midst of the bush, and Moses looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nither hither, but put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. God hasn't never revealed himself to Moses like this before. I want to read this chapter 3, but there's some things I need to point out right here. When the angel of the Lord appeared in that flame of fire out of the bush, Moses looked. See, when God reveals himself, we need to be looking. Some people look at supernatural things and they run from it. But when this was Jesus appearing into a bush that was burning, that wasn't consumed, he looked at it. He could have walked away from it and said, man, there's strange things happening. I'm getting out of here. But when he looked, he turned and he looked. See, because Moses had seen strange things in Egypt. He'd seen all those soothsayers and that the king had doing all those crazy things up in there. He'd seen that stuff before. But this time there was something different about it. See, there's a spirit of error out here in the churches, but there's something different about Jesus. He'll always lead you to the right thing. Amen. Moses seen something different here. And he says, I'm going to turn aside. I'm going to check this thing out. And see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. See, the devil thinks he can do miracles, but he don't know everything. See, the only power he's operating in is the power we give, the devil. Because he's been defeated. And Moses said, here's another key too. We're going to be talking about your authority. And Moses said, I will turn aside. And when the Lord saw that he turned and aside to see, God called. When I repented, I turned, I changed. I was in the world. Egypt represents the world. Moses had been in Egypt. When I turned and repented, God called. There was a calling on the inside to minister his word. Not until I came to Jesus did that call come alive. Amen? So when you turn to see and to hear, God will give you those hearing ears and he'll reveal his purpose for you. Amen? Because see, God hides himself to those that seek after him. He doesn't reveal himself to the lies and deceptions and all this stuff because he's not an author of confusion. God is the author of peace and life. He's not in confusion. God called him out of the bush and said, Jim, Jim, Reed, Reed, Robert, Robert. See, he called his name Moses. This is a bush that's burning, calling his name out of it. Jesus knows your name. Yes. Amen? Yes. And he called. And that's what a relationship is, personal. It's when God calls you by name and says, my child, my son, do this. And when you do it, miracles happen. Amen? Amen. Miracles when God says do it. And God called him to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, I like this. Here I am. Here am I. I'm sorry. But then ain't it amazing how Moses said, here am I. And then God reveals himself as to the I am. Amen. Moses says, here am I. And God says, I am that I am. See, that was if we go on and read. But I want you to hear that. When you turn, there's a calling there. Whatever he's called you to do, just keep turning, keep seeking, keep following, and he'll reveal his plan more and more. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of you, Moses. Are y'all reading with me? Preacher, read that right? It's not about you, Moses. It's about the whole world, Moses. The whole world. God's called us to take the word of God to the world. He needs Moseses. He needs some ladies out there, some Dianas. Amen? Because we are all, if you're born again, you're in the family, brothers and sisters. I've seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry. by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up to a land, unto a good land and a large, God loves adjectives, and a large land. See, sometimes we need to add an adjective to it. Thank you, Lord, that you have made me very rich. As I give, Lord, you have made me very rich. That's what he said to Abraham. In cattle, everything he set his hand to, God prospered him. In gold and silver and wisdom. God said, I'm come to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up to a good land, large land, flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites. Now, my mom came home, and I spent the night with her Friday night. And that Friday night, I prepared my message that Saturday morning for today because I spent time with mom and then spent time with Ruthie. So I got to minister this to mom when she got up out of bed. I got her up about 10 o'clock, fed her breakfast. She got to hear my introduction. So I'm getting to preach it again. Amen. So bear with me. See, she hadn't been in church probably maybe 2 months. So the church has got to come to her. When we have people in the church that can't get here, God calls you, just go to them. Give them a phone call. Take them something to eat. Hank's home from the hospital, had surgery. Hank's home. He just give him a call. He'd love you to come out. If you got to bring some Bojangles with you when you come, just love people. You don't have to come to the pastor and say, hey, pastor, can I go? And a lot of people, I'm saying you do that. I'm just saying this to the world needs to hear this. It's going past this church. Just call them and tell them you love them. Hey, you need something? Amen. And I need my people free is what God's saying. Verse 9, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians, he sees who's doing it. God knows who the enemy is. And I have also seen the oppression. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt, out of the world, out of bondage. Verse 11, and Moses said unto God, here we go, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you. Does this not sound like Jesus? And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt. See, a lot of times we want the blessings before we step out by faith. We want the victory before we step out to do the victory. But after you've done this, then this is a token. You've got to do something. The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is your name, and what shall I say unto them? Verse 14, and God said to Moses, Moses said, who am I? God says, I am. I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am have sent you. That's not too hard of a name. Sometimes I have a little trouble with names. I am is not hard for me to get a hold of. I am. I am healed. I am blessed. I am prosperous. That's some of his names. I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I am your provider. Not going to be. I am. Where'd I get to? Y'all are good students. Amen. Keeping the teacher in line. God said moreover unto Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent unto you. See, they knew him as that God, the children of Israel did. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together. He didn't say the children, he said the elders. The elders are those that are mature, should know this, should know me. Gather them together and say, the Lord God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seeing that which has been done to you in Egypt, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, and Hivites, and the Jebusites. Did I do okay? That's a lot of ites out there. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and they shall come, the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto them, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now let us go, I beseech thee, 3 days. This is what Moses was supposed to tell Pharaoh. Just let my people go 3 days to worship out in the wilderness. Didn't say forever, just 3 days. That we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt We'll just let your people go, no questions asked. Oh, is that not what it said? God knows all things, right? Moses doesn't know all things, but I don't know all things in my flesh, but my spirit does, which is on the inside of me. We're talking about the believer's authority. This is the foundation. God knows all things. Amen? He knows all things. And he revealed this to Moses. He's not going to let them go, Moses. But does that mean you're still not called and you still can't go? No. You go. Because God said go. They will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. But God says, I will stretch out my hand and I will smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. But was that God's purpose? No. He told them what to do, but God knew Pharaoh's heart. See, God knows our hearts. He knew Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Why? Because Pharaoh was serving all these gods that are dumb idols that can't speak and can't hear. Yep. Thinking he knew something. Well, he was deceived. They didn't know the devil was working behind all this stuff in the Old Testament. See, the Pharaoh, he didn't have a revelation of the devil. He just had a revelation of religion. Yeah. Of a god, of a god, of a god. And through that god, you worship that god. The sun shines and the rain. They were deceived. They were deceived. They didn't have Jesus. But thank God, there was a Moses coming. Amen. It wasn't Jesus, but it was a Moses that had been called by God. And God said, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after this, he will let you go. And I will give this people, talking about the children of Israel, favor in the sight of the Egyptians. This is going to help you as you gave this morning for your offering. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. When you leave this place, if you gave everything you had in your wallet, you're not going empty.
Amen.
When you pay your taxes this year, you're not still going out empty. See, that's what Caesar's required, but God says, I see everything Caesar's taking from you. Amen? Amen. That's a good time for tax season, a good message. God says, I'm not going to leave you going empty. We're giving into an invisible kingdom that the world can't understand and can't operate in. But we got a God that created that system. Amen. Give, and it shall be given. Favor, and it will come to pass when you go, you won't go empty, but every woman, you listening, women? Every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourns in her house jewels of silver. My wife don't wear a lot of silver jewels, but she still would have been able to collect it and go sell it and make some money off of it if you didn't like to wear it. You better do what God says. Go get some jewels, silver, gold, and raiment, clothes, all the clothes you need, and put them, and you shall put them on who? Yourself? See, God is always looking past you to who he can bless through you. You're going to put them on your sons, on your family. This is God's family that's been in bondage, that has not been clothed, that has been taken from. Whatsoever a man sows, Pharaoh's going to reap what he sowed, but God's children is going to reap what God said they're supposed to have. Plenty, land, flowing with milk and honey. If you're not there yet, keep walking and keep talking faith, the promises of God. That's where your faith's got to be, in the promises, what God has said, not what the pastor said. Now, if the pastor said what God said, you say it. Don't take everything I say. You get in the book and you make sure, man, that pastor, I never heard that before. If it's in the book here, I'm going to give it to you. Amen. But also, the Holy Spirit will give you revelation. You got a lot of information, but it can't pass revelation from what God says do. God say, go spit on the mud and put in that blind man's eye and he'll see. That's revelation. Amen? You can't find a lot of people writing that book like that. But if Jesus did it, and God tells you to do it. But don't go spitting in people's eyes unless God tells you to, Randy, right? Because you might get slapped if you don't get healed. But if God tells you to do it and their blind eyes are going to see. Because God will not be mocked. If he tells you to do something, he's going to bring it to pass.
Amen.
He ain't a God that he can lie. He's a God that heals. He does what he says. Borrow all that. Ladies, put all that stuff on your family, your sons and your daughters. And you shall spoil the Egyptians. And that ain't like we spoil our kids and with good things. No, God's going to spoil everything that they've been keeping and going to give it to God's people because they were takers and not givers. So that's all chapter 3. You needed to kind of hear that. We're going to be talking about the believer's authority. What was happening here wasn't right. God is a righteous. He's the righteous judge of all the earth. He sees every wrong, and he's going to make it right. Amen. But he's a God of mercy, too. See, don't give people judgment. Give them love and mercy, because he's long-suffering. God's will is that none perish, but all come into the knowledge of the truth. Now, we're going to go back on. I'm going to read that Exodus 4, because that goes right into chapter 4 here. You know, we put these chapters in here so we can find it, but Moses kept on going. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto me, my voice, for they will say, the Lord have not appeared to me." And the Lord said, "What's that in your hand, Moses?" And he said, "It's a rod." And he cast it to the ground, and he cast it to the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said to Moses, "Pour forth your hand, and take it by the tail." Thank God Moses listened. He put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And this is little nuggets if you're making notes here. Verse 1, the Lord told Moses that the people would believe him. That's what we just read in chapter 3. Here Moses contradicts what the Lord said and proclaims that they will not believe him. Who are we going to believe? What the world says or what God says? I'm going to pick God because he don't lie. There is no other way to interpret this but as unbelief. Unbelief. However, I don't think it was so much unbelief in the Lord as Moses was expressing unbelief in himself. Because see, we've got to understand, guys, as Moses was being raised up, he raised his hand and killed an Egyptian. That wasn't God's plan. God was going to lead the children of Israel out by God's mighty hand, not by Moses' strength and mighty hand. See, God is not a God of death. He's a God of life. And Moses had to deliver the word to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh hardened his heart. So see, when Moses got in disobedience, what did he do? He fled from the snake. When he did that and he heard that Pharaoh knew, when Moses heard that Pharaoh knew he slew his people, Moses fled from Pharaoh. He grew up in Pharaoh. He knew Pharaoh. He would take care of this. You don't kill your own people, Moses. Moses fled for fear into the wilderness. Thank God for 40 years he learned something there when God told him to do it. Moses was kind of like, "I've been down this path before. I'm going to go do all these mighty things. I didn't kill one man. I thought it was mighty." So real, we can see here Moses has humbled himself. God says he resists the proud, and God raises up the humble, gives grace to the humble. So here we can see Moses, he's changed. And he's just not out to just go out and do something now. He wants to make sure this is what I'm supposed to do, because he tried it before. Moses knew his limitations now. Some of that is healthy, but we have to couple the truth that we aren't sufficient in ourselves, and that's, you ain't got to go there. John 15:5 says, Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringing forth much fruit." Amen? "For without me," Jesus said, "you can't do nothing." Moses had got a revelation of this. I done tried it in myself, but that didn't work too good. Now I've been out here, Jethro's been teaching me about God. He's been teaching him about the covenant, about Jehovah, and he's been taking care of his sheep. See, that's a pastor's heart right there, taking care of these sheep. Bah, not goats. Goats always want to butt everything God says. Sheep, they like to receive the word. Amen? See, we have to couple the truth that we aren't sufficient in ourselves with the truth that we can do all things through Christ. And that's Philippians 4:13. So either one of those truths without the balancing effect of the other leads to failure. Pride. Get into pride, you're going to fall. But if you stay in Jesus, you're going to win them all. Amen? In the vine. Stay in the vine. Because all that came to Jesus got healed, got delivered, got set free. But they came to Jesus. They had to come to Jesus. As Jesus went preaching and teaching in their synagogues, some people rejected it, but those that came to get the truth got the truth. They got what they were believing God for. Amen? And it didn't cost them anything. Jesus wasn't charging. Except it would cost you your unbelief. Amen? And he can gladly have my unbelief. Amen. Unbelief will keep you out of the promised land. Yes. Unbelief, just a little bit. We talked about the yeast. Just a little bit of yeast will leaven the whole lump. A little bit of unbelief can negate a miracle from God.
That's right.
Amen. Just a little bit. So this is how we got to be so hungry for the Word of God, for the Spirit of God, for the move of God, for His presence, so that we can go out here and see those miracles right before our eyes. Because
yes.
God says, stretch forth your rod.
Yes.
Amen. Verse 2. And the Lord said to him, what's that in your hand? The Lord is out to convince Moses that he has empowered him with supernatural ability so he can accomplish what the Lord is instructing him to do. Despite his own limitations, it's not about you, Moses, what's in your hand. But it's when Moses took what it was in his hand, the rod, and he threw it down before God. Moses sacrificed his life. He laid down what he had been learning for 40 years. See, that staff represented his authority to those sheep. They come, you know, a shepherd would, whatever way he would do, he would take that and pull the sheep, guide the sheep. He had that in his hand. Moses laid it down to the Lord. Here it is, Lord. But then God said, now God put his supernatural. He turned it into a snake. Turned it into a snake. See, you're going to see all, in the spirit realm, there's all kind of deceptions out there. But then God said, pick it up by the tail. I'm kind of reading in between here. You don't do that to a snake. You pick it up by the head. But are you going to trust what God said or not? This is a test. God's testing Moses. Do you believe my word? If I tell you to do something, Moses, I'm going to protect you. The devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy you. But when I tell you to do something, I'm going to protect you. And when he picked it by the tail, it turned in, not from a rod in Moses' hand, but now is the rod of God in Moses' hand. God's hooked up with him now. Now, we got this man, we got the plan, and we're together. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How can Moses go do these great things except him and God are hand in hand in this situation? This is your authority in Christ, represented through Moses. Now, God is working with Moses, and they're working together. Amen? And God's already told him what he's going to do. He's already said this. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. It's okay to hear it again. But don't leave your rod. Don't leave your rod at home. We've heard this, you know, take your Bible and put it underneath your pillow and sleep on it so the devil won't mess with you. Not true. The word has to be in your heart.
Amen.
That devil, you can put 10 Bibles underneath your pillow. He's still coming. Because, see, it's not the word. It's the word in you. Spoken by faith is what makes the devil get out of town. Amen. I love Gunsmoke. Matt Dillon, you don't mess with Matt. That's his town.
Amen.
Matt had a gun and he carried it and he knew how to use it, when to use it. But he also, Matt Dillon was a man of wisdom.
Yep.
He gave you mercy and gave you grace. But if you pull the gun on him, Matt's pulling a gun on you. The devil don't like you. He hates you. So you always have the word. And you use that word the way you need to.
Yes.
You love people. This is your authority. You love people, but you hate evil. And the devil's going to use people. But you got to love them and you got to speak the word in love and either get them delivered. But also, if they're out to kill you, you got to use that word of wisdom too.
Yes.
You know, there was a prophet that spoke blindness on the enemies that were out to kill him. So you got to use your word. You got to use that word in the way God says use it. Amen?
Yes.
Protect your family. Jesus, he's my high tower. He's my fortress. He's my strength. The name of Jesus will steal the enemy. Amen? And we're living in a world, hey, there's all kind of shootings, all kind of killings, all things going, but we're living in Psalms 91. The Lord is, I dwell here. I dwell in Psalms 91. He's right here. Tell your kids, get the name of Jesus on the scene. Start talking about Jesus. Devil don't like Jesus. Jesus has undefeated him. This is your authority. This is who you are. Verse 3. And we're getting close to, I'm not going to get over to page 2 here. We're not going to get into page 2 today. You have to come back. I told Mama only. I gave Mama only Exodus 4, 1 through 4. And I said, I'll be back next Sunday for the rest of this message. I said, to be continued, because we was heading down to South Carolina to Gaffney. just kind of unhooked from there. But mom's making progress. She said up in hospice house, they give her this little pain button. You know, she's getting medicine coming into her body for the pain in her shoulder. You know, she's got some bad reports, but she's believing some other reports. I believe she's starting to hook them to some other reports. But she was loopy. Dallas called her loopy up there. That medicine that's coming in, she doesn't remember anything up there. But I was up there quoting scriptures, and she'd finish them. See, her spirit is alive. Your mind might be under some drugs, but your spirit is under the grace of God and under the power of God. And when it's called upon, it'll change your body. But she's holding that little pain button, and she can push if she needs an extra dose. And she's looking up at me after I've feeden her breakfast, and she said, she's looking at me, but she's looking past me to Jesus. She says, Jesus, take my pain. And she didn't push that button. Never seen her push that button. And when she said that, I told my wife, I hooked up and I agreed right there. Because that was mama calling out to Jesus. And she's been doing better. She's got home. She's got off of that thing. And that fluids came out of her body. Now she's just taking a pill every 6 to 8 hours just in case the pain would come back. But see, she's still believing. And we're still getting the word in there that Jesus took my pain. Isaiah tells us, amen? So that's where you just hook up with people. Jesus is the healer, I'm not. He took her pain, I didn't. But I can help her. I can be a Moses to mama, amen? Amen, you can too. It's what this message is all about today. Verse 3. And he said, cast it on the ground, and he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. Moses' rod was the tool of his trade. He used this rod to herd and defend the sheep. He leaned upon it. Telling Moses to cast his rod down on the ground was symbolic of asking him to yield himself totally to God. I don't want to gain the world and lose my soul. I don't want this world. I want God. I want all his blessings flowing in my life. What happened when Moses threw his rod? His life, threw his life on the ground before the Lord. It turned into a snake. Sometimes when you give your life to Jesus, you think things are going to be all hunky-dory. But then people, you call your friends, they just don't want to hang around with you anymore because all you're talking about is Jesus did this and Jesus did that. Well, it turned into a snake. So often something often looks like what we've done something that, let me go back here. Likewise, when we surrender our lives totally to the Lord, Romans 12:1 here says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. Amen. And when you do that, it often looks like we've done something that's going to kill us. Things often look worse before they get better. But my friends, I'm here to tell you 19 years later, they get better. The more word, the more love, the more compassion you start putting out, it starts coming back to you. Amen. Some people aren't afraid of snakes. I am. I was. That was in the old, I was. Apparently, Moses was not one of those people. Remember, Hebrews 11:27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. There's your key. Faith is invisible. Faith is a force. Faith is of the heart. Amen? It's a force of the heart. Moses had endured these 40 years by seeing him who is invisible. This was saying Moses had been seeking the Lord all that time and was still holding on to belief that he would fulfill God's will of bringing deliverance to the Jews. He had been waiting for this moment for 40 years, yet Moses was ready to flee the scene because of this snake. In verse 4, and the Lord said to Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, I might have said this in my way, but I want to walk us back through that verse 4 because it's important to knowing your authority. Moses throwing this rod down before the Lord was like him turning his life completely over. It turned into a snake, and the Lord told Moses to pick it up, pick that snake up by the tail. If you do pick up a poisonous snake, it's not wise to pick it up by the tail. Even today, it's not wise to pick it up by the tail. Amen? Unless God tells you to. That allows the snake to turn and bite you. This act of obedience could have cost Moses his life. Could have. Except there was a variable. God. The author of life gives nothing but life. Out of his mouth flows wisdom. Ask Job. Go read the book of Job. What was coming out of Job's mouth was not wisdom, but he found at the end of the book what wisdom. God showed up and said, I'll show you who I am, Job. Remember that Moses had been enduring these 40 years. He was still believing God would use him to accomplish the Israelites' deliverance from Egypt. Moses must have asked the Lord a million times to give him another chance through that 40 years. Because that's what I've done. Lord, when I mess up, help me to do it right. Moses had been in Bush University. Remember that burning bush experience? For 40 years trying to learn that he had to do things God's way and not his own way. This was his final exam. Would he really do what the Lord asked him to do? Even if he looked like death and the end of his dream, would you really trust what the Lord says do? Remember, Moses didn't have the benefit of knowing what the last half of that verse says. From his perspective, this was the end. To Moses' credit, he decided to do as the Lord instructed, even if it cost him his life. He passed the test, and when he obeyed, the snake turned back into a rod. I'm sure, now I'm reading this from Brother Andrew Womack's commentary. I love what he said on these verses. He says, I'm sure that if this rod had been analyzed, we always want to analyze. When God says do something, when we hear cancer or when we hear diabetes, a lot of times we want to go search out that disease and find out what's causing it, where it's coming from. No, you need to search out Jesus. Get in the Word of God. So you need to focus on your answer, not your problem. I'm not saying don't use wisdom at all, but look at the side effects it's going to cause if they give you medication. And look at the fact that by his stripes, 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes I was healed. I am healed. I were healed. Amen. Take that 2 times a day and call me in the morning and see if things ain't a little bit better. You got to believe it. You just don't do it because I said do it. You got to do it. You got to believe it. That's got to be your snake. That cancer is your snake. What do you got to go for it? You got to put the Word of God on its head. The devil's supposed to be under our feet, not on top of our head. Amen?
Amen.
And that's our authority. We got to know who we are in Christ. This is what Moses is learning at Bush University. So likewise, when we give our lives to the Lord, he will give that life back to us. Jesus said that. But we're not in control of it anymore. Now we got to remember, God is supreme, but he has given the earth over to the children of men. The authority was given to man, and we'll get into this probably next week. He gave it to Adam. But then the devil stepped in and deceived Eve, and they both fell in a transgression. And the devil stepped in and got our authority that God gave to man. And that's how the devil's been operating all these thousands of years. But that ain't the end of the story. Amen. See, to others it might look like we're still in control, but they weren't there when we had the encounter with the Lord. My encounter. Gave our lives to the Lord and then took them back by the tail. Our lives are not our own anymore. We're hid in Christ. As Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith. It's all getting down to faith of the Son of God. I'm not living by my faith. I'm living by my faith in Jesus, the faith that he gave me. Amen? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Faith worketh by love. He loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, we are no longer limited to what we can do before in our own power. We are now God's and capable of mighty things in his hand. Now, I love that song. He's got the whole world in his hands. But does the whole world give their life to his hand? No. That's why you can see all these bad things, evil things happen. It's not God's intention, never has been. There's no darkness in him, no evil at all. But he gave it over to man, and man, by transgression, sin, they gave it over to the devil. But we're going to learn, we're going to be refreshed this month, in the month of March, of our believer's authority, the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen? It's a refresher course, but I need to hear it. And I know if I need to hear it, if God said you need to hear it, that's the main thing. Because if God says to tell you something, I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you about my life, my shortcomings, my failures. So why? So you don't have to do that. Amen? Don't pick a snake up by the head. I hope you didn't hear that today. That's okay to pick. I mean, don't pick him up by the tail. Don't go out here and start playing with snakes. This is what we're not what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about your authority, what God says to do. When God says you can do it because he's going to give you the grace to do it. He has given you the grace through the blood of Jesus. Amen? That's the power of God. The faith, that's your part. He gave it to you too, but you got to use it. He won't use your faith for you. Did you hear that? God gave you his faith, but he won't use your faith for you. That's your part. Use your faith in his grace, and you get salvation. That's what Jim said, Romans 10, 9 and 10. That's how I received Jesus at home on my couch by myself. I believed it, and things started changing. It's been changing ever since. It's getting gooder and gooder every day, every year. Amen? Amen. Bad English, but good word. Because God's a good God. He gets gooder and gooder. Oral Roberts said that. God is a good God.
Yes,
he preached it till he left his place. Pneumonia hit him, but he came out of that pneumonia and was praising God in the hospital. And I think that's when they said, and he went on to be with Jesus. That's why I told Mom, I said, Mom, just go ahead and go to heaven, but go to heaven healed. Why we got to go to heaven sick? That's where we're trying to get her, set her faith. And she said she wanted to see a couple more things happen, a couple kids graduate. So we set her faith there. That's her faith. That's her faith. You got to hook up with people where their faith is. That's where miracles happen. God wants the best for all of us, but he can only work through us through what we believe and trust him with. Amen? Yes.